But what I want to do today, and I want to take the next few weeks, and I want to talk to you about how you can secure God's protection and God's provision and God's purpose in your life. How many of you want that? I want to be protected by God in this crazy world that we live in, and I want His provision. In fact, I pray about His provision a lot, and I want His purpose. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit today. I've titled this mini-series very simply, The Prayer. The Prayer. Did you know that God is still in the business of protecting and providing and revealing His will for His people's life? How many of you know that? How many of you want that today? How many of you, I've already asked you that, but let me just hear for you a minute. How many of you want God's protection? I want it, and it's available to us, and I want to know, you know, one of the prayers that I pray, you may think this is crazy, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself today, but I pray, you know, one of my concerns is in my latter years, you know, I want to make sure that I've got God's blessing there as well, and I want to be, I'm just being real with you, I want to be provided for even in my latter years, amen? And I believe God's going to do that, and I believe you want that in your life too. How many of you want your prayers answered regarding these things in your life? Because I believe that is the key. And that's the reason that we set aside these 21 days to seek the Lord with prayer and with fasting. And I really felt inspired of the Lord to do something that I haven't done in a long time. In fact, I went back through some of my old notes. It's been years since I talked to you about what I'm going to talk about for these next few weeks. One day, Jesus' disciples, they came to Him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke 11 and 1, how many of you know, we may know all about prayer, but how many of you know we need to be reminded about prayer? We need to know how to pray. Not the way I want to pray, but the way God instructed us to pray. And they saw the results that Jesus' prayer life produced. Jesus was a praying man. They'd been with Jesus for 2 years. They'd had a front row seat, and they'd seen all the miracles. They'd seen His life and what all it produced. They'd seen His preaching and His teaching, and they saw the power in it. They realized what the source of it was. It was His prayer life. And so I want to read what is traditionally called, and I say that sparingly, the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11, I encourage you. Folks, this year, bring your Bible to church. Bring a Bible to church. I know I don't always have you turn to the verses, but when I do, you need to turn to them and look at them. It's all right to mark in that Bible. But I want to read what is the Lord's Prayer. And Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, read this way. It says, Now it came to pass, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. So He said to them, everyone listen to this, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I like that. He said, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now there's four aspects of this prayer today that I want to focus on and talk to you about. Number one, I want to talk about God's His fatherhood to us. He refers to Himself as our Father. So on the outset, if we're going to talk about prayer and we're going to be inspired in this new year to seek the Lord, we need to know who it is that we are praying to. Amen? Now, according to Jesus, when we come to God, who is the God of the universe, what do? We call Him Father. Now, I realize in beginning to talk about the fatherhood of God that some people, because of their bad experiences, don't understand fatherhood. They don't understand a loving and kind and gracious Father. But I want to tell you, as you study the pages of the Bible, you will realize God is a loving and a kind and a gracious Father. Now, when Christians bow before God and call Him Father, you know what they're doing? They're acknowledging that at the heart of the universe, there is not only ultimate power, think about that, But, and here's what I want you to get more than anything today. When you go to the God of the universe, you are going to ultimate love. Oh, I want you to get that today more than anything else. If you don't hear anything else, I say, when you go to God in prayer, you are going to ultimate love. That was Jesus who taught us to pray that way. Now listen to this. He alone is the one that guarantees that we can enter into a relationship with God and become members of His family. Only Jesus has the guarantee. But He's guaranteed that if we have allowed Him into our lives and we have confessed Him as Lord and we are serving Him, then He guarantees that we are God's children and that we have a relationship with the Father. How many of you like that? That makes me happy. It only comes through Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Do you believe in His name? If you do, He has given us the right to be called and to become the children of God. Now, beloved, it is a wonderful privilege to be able to call God Father. And it's also easy for us to take this privilege for granted. That's why I want to stir you again. I want to put some courage in you. I want to put some priority into you this as we begin this new year about seeking the Father. In the Old Testament, the people of God didn't usually address God as Father. The word Father for God was rarely used, and when it was used, it was always referred to the relationship of God to the nation of Israel. As far as we know, none of the outstanding Old Testament saints, being Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, or Daniel, ever fell on his knees in solitude in his chamber and dared address God as his Father. Yet in the New Testament, at least 275 times, this is how we are instructed to speak to God as our Father. Stay with me. Because of Jesus, and not just because of Jesus, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, when we come to the sovereign Lord of the universe, the words that should fall readily from our lips is Father. I'm praying, and I prayed before I came. I said, Lord, you're going to have to take these notes and you're going to have to take these words and turn them into revelation knowledge to the people so that they will know when they're praying who it is they're praying to and that you want them praying and that you want a relationship with them. I'm praying that the eyes of our understanding, as Paul said, that they would be open, that we would be enlightened to know that God wants a relationship with every one of us. He is our Father and we are His children. And it's because of His death and His resurrection. Now, to the early Jewish Christians, having a proper awe of God was properly easier than understanding their intimacy with God. But it's unfortunate, beloved, in our day, the pendulum has swung to the other extreme. God is often referred to in terms that are not really very awe-inspiring. I can't conceive the psalmist saying, I may not know the answers, but I know the answer man. I can't imagine the men and women of the Bible talking about the big man upstairs. Not when you study the Bible. See, they understood the awe of God. And we've kind of missed that just a little bit. And I don't want to reverse anything I've said here, but I'll tell you, we're coming to God, but we need to have some awe and respect for God. You see, the Bible keeps the tension between intimacy and awe. We come to a loving Father, to ultimate love when we're praying to the Heavenly Father, but we also come with some respect and awe, amen? And that's the balance for us. The sovereign Almighty God of the universe has allowed us, and I keep emphasizing it, because of Jesus Christ, to approach Him in prayer and to address Him as Father. And when you begin to do that, folks, you begin to understand. It doesn't matter what your background is. You are coming to a Father who is loving and who is kind and who wants to help you in every situation of life. Now, secondly, I want to talk to you about God's person. In other words, in the prayer where he says, "Hallowed be your name." And all I'm doing today is I'm laying the foundation of a proper understanding of how we approach the Heavenly Father with awe and respect, and yet understanding we can have intimacy with him so that when we do that properly, we pray the way he said to pray. Then when we start talking to him about provision, when we start talking to him about jobs, when we start talking to him about promotions, or we start talking about making a move, we get those prayers answered. When we talk to God about being our protector and the one who pardons all of our sins, I'm laying that groundwork today. Hallowed be your name. When we pray, Jesus told us to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Now, in Hebrew thought, a name was extremely significant. Parents didn't name their children because they thought their initials would look good on a piece of luggage. They didn't choose a name because it reminded them of Aunt Hilda or Uncle Harry. Parents chose names for their children, hoping that the name would embody the personality, the characteristics, or the character that they wanted to see developed in the child. Early American Puritans understood this, and that's the reason they gave their daughters names like this. And some of you, after you hear this, you're going to wish you'd done the same. How about this one for a name? Silence. The Puritan did it. Silence. How about this one? Charity. What is it about kids? You love them so much, but boys are going to fight against each other, and you know, they're going to argue and do things. Charity. How about that for a name? Hope. Or love, how about this one, and patience. They hoped that the child would live up to her name as she grew up. Now we also see in the New Testament, in times of crisis, when someone's life or outlook at life had changed, often God would name them and change their name to match what he wanted them to do. For example, the Old Testament example would be Abram was named Abraham. When Jesus got hold of Peter, his name was Simon. You know what Simon means? It means shifty. It means sandy. It means an undependable fella. But Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means rock. So when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're talking about the character and the person of God. Now, folks, I hope this doesn't throw you off. You know, don't get this religious thing on you like, man, I just can't ever make a mistake in the presence of God, and I've got to be very careful how I pray. Listen, you can be real with God. You can be a real person. You can talk to God. Just make sure you do it with some respect and that you understand you are hallowing the name of our God. Amen. And we're not taking God for granted. Amen. So when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're talking about the character and the person of God. But it also means this. To hallow means to sanctify, to set apart, or to make special. Now let me just tell you, I think God has a sense of humor. And I don't know that God gets all bent out of shape if you've ever to him, you know, in a fun-loving way as, "Hey, the man upstairs," or whatever endearing term you may use. I really think it's all about our heart. The problem is, in our society today, the opposite of hallowing his name is true. Here it is. Here's the opposite of hallow. It means to profane, or to disgrace, or to tarnish the name. I can't figure out why people use certain names about God. You think about why? Where did that start, and why do they even do that? Well, if anything proves that we've got a sin nature, it's proven when we do that. You know, when people use the name of Jesus despairingly, I just don't even relate. So when we say, "Hallowed be your name," we're praying that God may be God to us and that He will set apart in our prayers, or that He set apart in our prayers in such a way that it will clear the way for us to reverence God. Are you hearing me today? I'm trying to present to you a balanced way of approaching God, not a way that produces fear in you, but also one that puts awe and respect in Him. Let me tell you, God is worthy of respect. And not only is God worthy of respect, if we disrespect Him long enough, God has a way of letting us know we are disrespecting Him. And let me just say this, I don't believe we're supposed to call all our friends on the carpet who misuse God. Now maybe so, maybe not. It grieves our heart when people misuse His name, doesn't it? It grieves us when we misuse God's name and we use it in a disparaging way. I want to hallow His name. I love this. Our Father. Oh, let it go into your heart. Our Father who are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That is the proper way in which you begin to approach God. You don't just run in when you get up in the morning and you learn this as you walk with God. Say, hey, God, fix the car. God, give us some food. You said you would. Come on. God, Bible makes it very clear that God knows what you and I have need of even before we pray. And you get a whole lot more done and a whole lot more accomplished when you learn to respect and reverence the name of the Lord. Amen? Oh, this is so funny. I read this week. A child was heard praying. She said, dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother. And she had to throw this in there. And my doggy and me. Oh, please, God, take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a real big mess. Boy, isn't that true? God, take care of yourself. And how many of you know God has the capacity to take care of Himself as well as take care of us? Thirdly, today I want to talk to you about God's program, which is in the prayer, it's your kingdom come. Now the second request that we direct to our Father is not only that we would be devoted to the person of God, but also to the program of God. Now, folks, listen to me. I could really start preaching right now, but I want to make sure I don't get too far ahead of myself. God has a program. God has an agenda. God has a plan for this world. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And He wants every one of His children, none excluded, to be involved in the plan. And it has to do with His kingdom coming. Your second request is this, your kingdom come, not my kingdom come, your kingdom come. You didn't get that one. See, we're so accustomed in America to wanting everything, and we talk about the dream, the American dream, and we just kind of approach God with our dream and our plan. God has a dream, and God has a plan. And sometimes we say, well, God's plan gets a little tiring to do. Listen, folks, we can rest when we get to heaven. Sometimes we just don't think we can fit everything in, do God's will and do my will and everybody else's will. Hey, we get to rest in heaven, amen? Just keep that in mind when you get tired. But here's what Jesus was making reference to, which we should all be longing for. Jesus was speaking here about His future messianic kingdom that is coming to the earth. Folks, listen, don't be sad. God's kingdom is going to come. Are you worried about what you're seeing or concerned about what you're seeing on the news and around the globe and talk of nuclear weapons and, wiping nations off the face of the earth? Let me tell you, God is going to take care of this world and God is going to come, and it's clear all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ is coming and He will rule and reign once again on this earth and set up His messianic kingdom, and I want to be right in the middle of it. Amen. In fact, I have every intention of being there. Now, all through Scripture, the story of the Bible looks forward to the return of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And here's what He'll do. It says, He will rule in righteousness. And all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. It's found in Revelation 11 and 15. Don't let that make you sad. Now, I know that those of you who are really sold out to God, that excites you. I'm excited. Sometimes young people get depressed when you talk about the coming of the kingdom. Well, I love you young people, but I'm not the one who's controlling the world and telling you how things are going to be. That's just the way it's going to be. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we look toward that glad time when God's kingdom will be established by Jesus' return to the earth. It comforts me to know that He is going to return and He's going to straighten out this mess, and all these people that defy Him and make fun of Christians and downgrade the church. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm probably not as spiritual as I need to be, but I'm just not real bothered about the fact that if they spent their whole life defying God and rejecting God and making fun of Christians, giving Christians a hard time, that's between them and God, and I don't mind what they're going to get. Not at all. But when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're also to ask for something else. Here's what we're doing. We are appealing to God. We are pleading that God, on this small bit of earth that we now occupy, and every one of you have a place of occupancy where God has placed you and where He wants His kingdom to be established. And what we need to do, and that's not only occupy, but we need to make sure that we submit our will to God's will. Let me tell you, folks, that's why we fast and that's why we pray, so we can yield our will to God. I tell you, for the last week, my flesh has been groaning. It has been just not wanting to do this. But you know what? My flesh is going to serve the will of God, not me. Amen? And so when we pray for His kingdom to come to the earth, we're not only praying for His messianic kingdom, which is going to come, we are praying for God's kingdom to come into our own lives, and in this small ground of area that He's given us, He wants you and I to be establishing in our own heart, but in the lives and the sphere that we run in, establishing His kingdom there. And you're to pray that. I have found whatever you pray about, you're more open to, and you're inclined to see the hand of God working when it works. I've found if you want to reach people for the Lord, you start praying about reaching people, and all of a sudden opportunities rise everywhere. You start praying, the kingdom of God come, and all of a sudden the will of God starts manifesting all around you. See, if we want God's rule over all men and women at some point in the future, then it follows that we desire that He will work His will in our lives now. This is good news. Because anything we pray that God has told us to pray, let me tell you, if Jesus has told us to pray this way, you can rest assured that kind of prayer is going to get answered. The reason some of our prayers don't get answered, they're not the kind of prayers God wants us praying. Oh, as I walk with the Lord longer and longer, I'm learning. I don't have it all figured out. Oh, I thought I did. Oh, I was taught years ago how to lay out and map out in the name of God your plan for your life. Well, let me just tell you, I found God's bigger than my plans. And I found years later, after I mapped out something, I prayed about something, and I wanted something, I go, "Woo, thank God He didn't do that." Folks, God knows what He's doing in our lives, but just like struggling with fasting and prayer, we struggle with the will of God. We're so programmed to tell God what He ought to be doing. And instead of us coming humbly and submitting to God, I tell you, sometimes I hear things and I'm like, you don't have to talk to God that way. God is gracious. He wants to bless His children. He knows what is best for us. He's not greedy. He's not withholding. He is a Father who is just waiting to bless, but at the same time, He knows what is best for us. Your will be done, Lord, and not in a doubtful, unbelieving way. I'm sorry to tell you, there are some gray areas in this thing called life. But where God has made it clear He wants you to be blessed in area, you be bold and you pray and you believe. But there are a lot of areas in life that are not so clear cut. Can you give me an amen on that? That's what you learn as you get a little older and you walk with God. You're not as arrogant. You're not as self-sufficient. You become more humble. Lord, here's what I would like. And even maybe what I think You're saying, but Your will be done. Your best intentions can miss the will of God. And so, we're praying, Lord, Your kingdom come. And we're acknowledging God's rule in all people, including us. Folks, you know why I'm calling us together in a solemn assembly? You know why I want as many of you who can be here at our corporate prayer time? There's so much more power when we're together. See, again, we kind of resist that too. No, I'll just stay home in my little prayer closet. No, come for a season and let's get together and let's cry out for the kingdom of God in some areas and let's believe. And together we can establish the will of God better than we can by ourselves. Amen? We declare it. We want His rule. And we want His kingdom to come, do we not? So folks, we dare not pray for His rule over others unless we honestly desire His rule over us. Have you ever gotten your notes scrambled in the middle of a message you got to preaching so hard? Have I covered point number 3? I'm on point number 4. That's also what starts happening to you after a little bit when you're just on water. Number 4, God's purpose. Your will be done. I've already alluded to this, but how many of you know we tend to get this upside down? I think you already got this by now. But we pray as if we expect God to change the way He's running the universe because we have given Him our petitions. Now, folks, this is somewhat arrogant. Let me tell the big man upstairs how he ought to be doing it. And by the way, folks, you don't have to do this by the way you pray. It can be done by the way you don't pray. You know, we can have attitudes. There are more attitudes that hide in the heart and in the minds of people, attitudes about God. Well, God said He'd do this, and He didn't do it, so I'm just not going to pray. You may never say that to anybody, but it's an attitude. I ain't going to pray to God, because I prayed one time, and I was told how He's going to do it. Besides, He said in His Bible He was going to do this, and He didn't do this, and He didn't fulfill this. I have a problem with that. I love you so dearly, but you just might as well get over that real quick. He is God. And He knows what He's doing. We're to pray, Your will be done. Again, I want to emphasize, and I don't want anybody to send me emails. Now, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but, I heard them pray over Grandpa when they prayed, Your will be done. Listen, I'm not talking about the things that are clear in the Word of God. God has made certain things clear. It is His will. You don't say, if it be thy will. I don't hear that nonsense anymore. But years ago, I used to hear people, and I've even heard people pray, over things. For example, I believe God wants His people healed. He's made it clear. My God, what do you think the stripes were on His back for? He made it clear. By His stripes, you were healed. We ought to believe God for healing, however God wants to send it. But you used to hear people say, if it be thy will to heal. It's God's will to heal. My God, what do you think those stripes were for? God give them peace of mind, unless you just want to torment them a bit. Why do you think the crown was on His head for? And the thorns in His brain. It was to represent peace of mind. There are some things we don't pray, if it be thy will. But there are some things you need to be smart, you need to be wise, you need to be sensitive and say, if it be your will, or better yet, your will be done. I'm telling you, folks. In one sense, I'm getting a lot wiser than I used to be. And as I'm doing this fast, and I'm only talking about this fast a lot today to inspire you, I'm going to tell you my primary goal and cry of my heart is, Lord, Your will be done with my life. I believe I'm in the will of God. I believe I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I want to know that I know that I know that I know. I don't want to assume this year about His will. And so sometimes at worst, you know what we do? We treat God like a genie in a lamp. And then we want to rub it and make a wish. And we expect God to change the universe to give us what we want. How many of you are learning it does not work this way? Come on, young saints. We haven't lost our touch as older people. We're not out of touch. We just learned some things. Amen? And so what do? We must recognize the importance of conforming our will to His will. Do you know that's the battle of the ages? Pray. prayer is not getting God to do my will. It is asking that God's will be done in my life and in my family and in my business and in my relationships as it is done in heaven. That's how he said pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Parents, pray regularly over your children for the will of God to be done. Sure, you're there to guide them, but let me tell you, sometimes children take a different path, or God has a different path for them than we plan. But if we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in their lives, guess what? God will do it. You need to be doing that over your businesses. Don't try to work everything out in the intellect. You know, if I just do this and if I just work day and night. You know, the Bible says that is vanity. You know, the Bible says it is vain to stay up late at night working and having sleepless nights. You're not trusting God. Pray about your business and give God your business. I'll never forget, and I'm running out of time today. One time, boy, I was going to help God out. I had one of the best years in business I had ever had. I thought, man, this is so good. We had some extra money. I liked all this. Let's just double up this next year. I worked my fool head off the next year, got twice the number of crews and started doing twice the number of jobs. And you know what? At the end of the year, I was worn out. I was tired, frustrated, anxious, stressed out, and hadn't made any more money. I learned something. Put your business in the hand of God and let His will be done. Let God do some work for you. He's one of the wisest businessmen I know. I hope some of you can hear me on that. You know, what do? We work all our life to make wealth. And then we spend those precious years because we abused ourselves, spending all our wealth to maintain some health that we destroyed. It just doesn't make sense. Let me for just a moment change the thought here. Now, for us to live according to God's will on the earth, as it is done in heaven, means to do so in enemy territory. Now, folks, we live in a realm that is controlled by Satan. But when we're praying, it is to recognize that this world is no friend of God's. Some of you just cannot figure out what's going on with people today, and sometimes I can't either. But I know what the Bible says, so I have to go back to that. Why are people acting the way they are? Why does it seem like you witness to someone and they don't want God? Because this world is not our friend. When you start praying, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you are in enemy territory. And by the way, let me just say, this is all the more reason we need to be praying for God's will to be done. And all these things that I'm going to teach you and remind you of, because we are living in a world that is becoming more and more hostile to God and to God's people. And let me just tell you, people who don't want a little heat in their life, you know what they're going to do? They're just going to kind of flake off and go where it's easy or do what's easy. They don't want any heat. They don't want any resistance. But I'm telling you, you and I are living in hostile territory. The devil knows that his time is short. Somebody's saying, why does it seem like the tension, why does it seem like the stress and the pressure has increased? Because Satan knows that his time is short. You may not like the idea, but Satan does control this world. We gave it to him in the garden. And you know why we need to pray God's kingdom come and God's will in our life? Because if we don't, let me tell you, evil spirits will invade our life and they'll cause problems for us. We've got to pray and establish God's will and God's border in our life. That's how you get it done. We're in hostile territory. Folks, I'm sorry. I know. Listen, I hear all this weird stuff. Listen, I don't want to be picking on young people, but I'm tired of them looking into every stinking religion in the world. Those religions, if you'll study them honestly, have failed over the years. Call me hard-nosed. Call me whatever you want to call me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm ready for people and young people to get over the confusion about who God is. Buddha doesn't have a thing for you. I hear this a lot from young people. Well, you know, he's not sure about his relationship with, you know, about Jesus being the only way. Let me tell you, folks, let me tell you, Jesus warned us. He said, deception will be the order of the day. You've either got to believe God said what He said and meant what He said, or are you going to be deceived and confused. And people who are believing that you can find other routes to get to God other than Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, watch their lives. They're confused. They're messed up. Nothing's working for them. And it's so sad, and I'm going to stay on this long, that America has been so foolish that God established this nation. Go study the founding of this nation and our forefathers and what they believed and what they stood for. And here we are debating whether or not we should be praying. Debating whether or not we can have a nativity scene on a public square. I told you during Christmas what the solution is. Every one of you need to get a nativity set, one of those lit up ones that don't require a lot of work. You just go plug them in and stick them up in front of your yard and say to all these atheists and these people who don't want God, say, nah. Well, I'll pray about that. No, don't pray about it. Just do it. You can buy Christmas stuff now for 90% off. There's a place of weariness, and maybe it's a God righteousness developing me. Well, I don't know if, and some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. Get around, and I'm not down on young people. I'm just telling you there's a lot of confusion. Oh, well, I don't know, you know. Had one tell me the other day, well, he's confused because he studied all the world religions now, and he's just not sure that Jesus is the way, the truth, and listen. That hard-nosed preacher comes out in me, man. You better get it figured out before you leave this earth. Because I don't care whether you believe in it or not, there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. I love you. I'll move on. When we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for our friends. I'll say it again, we're praying for our families and we're praying for our society. But above all, we are praying for ourselves. How can we pray for America to do the will of God and be in the will of God if we're not even letting the will of God be done in our own lives? When Beethoven's body was exhumed 42 years after his death, he was found with his arms up and his fist clenched in defiance. Apparently, someone had buried him in the way that revealed his attitude. At the age of 30, Beethoven had become deaf and remained that way until his death 26 years later. He died an angry and bitter man because he felt that God had hemmed him in. Did you know it is possible to pray for God's will to be done while resenting God? And resenting God not giving me everything that I want? Let's be real now for just a moment. There are a lot of people that really despise God. And they despise the fact that God won't let them be the master of their own faith. We don't say it. It's like that other. We kind of hide it. But there are people who really despise God. They really despise it. Folks, listen, I love you. But our actions say more than our words. It's another thing you learn as you walk with God a lot of years. And then you start realizing, it's not about the words. I don't listen to words anymore. And I don't look at people to judge them. But I go by their actions. My actions say more about me and what I really am than what I say. A lot of people resent God. They really do want to be the captain of their ship. And that's the reason they don't get in and they don't get connected. I don't care what they say. They want to be the captain of their ship and of their lives. And so we can come to God, beloved, and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about that. As it is in heaven, does God want you to have a good life? Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. As it is in heaven. Please hear my heart. There are no sick people in heaven. There are, and I'm not getting down on anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. There are no depressed people in heaven. They're happy. They're rejoicing. There's no sorrow in heaven. That is the ultimate goal. That is what the prayer is about, to bring a piece of heaven to this earth so the world around us can see it. But man, if we just kind of got this apathetical attitude and, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to do life, make it through, and hey, whatever. Hey, let me tell you, we got to change that. We're not doing it for us. We're doing it for Jesus. That's why we do what we do, for Jesus, for His kingdom.